Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are so pleased that you're here with us, especially if this is your first visit or you've just recently begun attending. We want to extend our hope that you will become a member of our family of faith here. And one of the ways of doing that, of course, is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. That includes worship, but is not limited to worship. You can find lots of opportunities in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up a few. This coming Thursday at noon, our Lenten concert series continues with Simon Thomas Jacobs offering that final concert. The concert is at noon. Lunch is served afterwards at 12:30. Please, if you're going to be at lunch, let us know either by calling the church or registering online. This has been a wonderful series this Lent. It always is, and I hope you can take in this coming Thursday's concert. Another reminder, the Holy Week schedule of worship services is printed in your bulletin insert, including Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and of course our Easter services and Easter brunch. I hope you will look at all of those, and I hope you'll plan to be here for those. Also, on Easter, we ask if those who are familiar with the church and familiar with the area will park in our overflow parking at the Caterpillar Garage. In case you're a little hesitant about that, on your bulletin insert, there are precise directions on how to do that. If you're nervous in the least, you may want to try to park there next Sunday, Palm Sunday. That would give you a little practice for Easter, right? We do this because on Easter, of course, there are a lot of folks visiting. There are a lot of folks who aren't familiar with the church and our parking situation. And if those of us who are can make room for them, we're better in terms of our hospitality. So let me encourage you to do that. Also, we have our Bedrock Belief t-shirts available again. You can purchase those in Reed Hall in addition to what we've had in the past. We have children's sizes this year and a tri-blend shirt for those who'd like a shirt working out. And 100% polyester shirt is available in adult sizes. God loves everyone unconditionally. That's what it says. And if you don't believe that will start some theological conversations, just wear it out somewhere. An update on our appointment here. We are told by the conference that we should be able to tell you who the new senior pastor will be next Sunday. Okay, Eric Gamble will be doing that. As of now, neither Eric nor I know. Okay, no member of the staff knows. No member of staff parish knows. We will not know that until just before we get to announce it. So hopefully next Sunday we will be able to let you know who your new senior pastor will be. And an update on my retirement. When I announced it, I mentioned a few things that I would be doing, but just recently it's been confirmed that I will be serving this fall, and hopefully for the near future, as the writer, storyteller in residence at Martin Methodist College, our conference college, and I'm very excited about that as a possibility. So, did you ever feel homesick? Some of you might have to think back a while, maybe in college, maybe student exchange. Did you ever feel homesick? On the other hand, did you ever arrive someplace you'd never been before and feel right at home? We're going to talk about coming home in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Thank you. of hosts.
Heaven and earth, those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Let us worship God. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of pity. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Let us join together in the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word open to your voice. Silence our agendas, confound our expectations, and clear the cobwebs from our ears. We know that you can, we pray that you will, and we wait for your anticipation. Amen. A reading. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs indeed, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they grow through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
One of the favorite things of mine to do over the past 20 years or so, I guess, is to help with the 61st Avenue United Methodist Church Last Chance Toy Store. Now, I know some of you have helped with that as well, but for those of you who may not know about that, At 61st Avenue United Methodist over in the Nations, which sadly enough is closing except for the Spanish-speaking congregation that is going to continue there, every year just before Christmas, toys are collected, gifts for children really from birth through the teen years, so that those can be given to the families of people who are not served by any other program in the city. That's why it's called Last Chance. It comes very close to Christmas, and to get the toys, to get the shop, you have to prove that you've not been served by any of the other programs in the city. And so I've served in various capacities, but my favorite capacity is to work the door. Because you see, if you work the door, you get to see everybody who comes through. Now, people come early in the morning and they get a number. And they come back at a certain time and they line up according to that number. They go in, they're seated in the pews at 61st, and then they go up, they are interviewed, and a personal shopper takes them around so they can get presents for their children or grandchildren. The presents are free, of course, they've been donated. You would think from the gratitude and the excitement of these families that we were giving them $1 million. Their children or grandchildren who would not have had presents, something we don't even think about in our homes, will have presents on Christmas because of the generosity of a whole lot of people throughout the community. At the door, you get to visit with all the people who are lining up. You make sure they're in the right numerical order. You remind them constantly that they need to have their information with them and have it ready to present. And one by one, you send the folks through. Thousands upon thousands of families are served every single year. And whenever I hear this song and the phrase in it that says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, my mind goes to that door, to that very spot. I've been there in the snow, and I've been there when we just had to wear a short sleeve shirt. I've been there in the rain. I've been there in the heat, the cold. But to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord is such a great gift. Now, in the song, the poet describes what it's like to enter into God's presence. This was a psalm that was probably sung. We don't all often sing them, sometimes we do, but we don't often sing them, but it would have been sung by pilgrims coming to the temple. And as they came to the temple, they would be talking about how homesick they'd been for this place. They don't live there. In fact, if they're pilgrims, they come from far away, but they are homesick for the presence of God. And the poet gives us two presiding images of what we find in God's presence. The first one is the image of a bird making her nest, a sparrow or a swallow making her nest. Every year we have birds that nest underneath the eaves on our little porch, on the front porch. And while it can be a nuisance, it is also a miracle to watch as the eggs hatch, as the mother feeds the birds, as they fly away. To find a home in which we are cared for the way those tiny birds, unable to fend for themselves, are cared for, is what we're homesick for. That's what we're yearning for. We may not even know what we're yearning for. We may not even know what we're missing, but we are missing the fact that we are helpless without the presence of God, and we depend on God for absolutely everything. So we find a home when we enter the presence of God. When I pray with the choir before we come in, I pray in one way or another that we will become transparent to God's presence. Because this is not about us. It's not about the choir. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the worship leaders. It is about us pointing beyond ourselves to the one you've been homesick for. The one in whose arms you will find a home. In whose embrace you will be welcomed. It's been said that home is that place that when you go there, they have to take you in. Not this home. This home is that place that when you go there, they delight in taking you in and welcoming you and making you feel at home. The second major image is that of rain and water. If you've ever traveled through a desert region, either in the Middle East or in this country or elsewhere, you know how important water is. Water's not just another commodity. You depend upon that for your very life. So it is life, but it's also refreshment. And the image here is of the rain falling and the rivers of the heart. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? The rivers of the heart overflow with refreshment, with life. That's what happens when we arrive home. We are refreshed by God's presence. We are given life by God's presence. Often, when I'm praying with a family who has a family member who is close to death or has just died, I will use the phrase, God's love is our home in this world and the next. God's love is our home now and forever. Knowing that we live in God's love, and we are only at home when we recognize that. This is the place we come to recognize that. God's love is everywhere. But when we come together here, everything we do is designed to focus our attention on that one thing. We are at home in God's love. We are given life and refreshed by God's presence. That's why we yearn to come here. That's why we want to be in God's presence, so that we can then recognize that presence wherever we go. So that in our refreshed state, when we see the presence of God in the parking lot, in our home, at work, on the street, we recognize that presence and love and feel at home once again. Especially on a communion Sunday, when we invite folks to come and receive the bread and the juice, we are offering that refreshment in a very special way. When I offer that invitation, I don't follow the exact script. I know that surprises a lot of you. And some of my colleagues have taken me to task for some of my improvisations. Specifically, when I say you don't have to be a baptized Christian to come. Well, I say that because throughout the history of Christianity, there have been groups who said, unless you're part of our group, you're not welcome. Unless you are baptized or baptized in a certain way, you're not welcome. That is not our theology. And my fear is that somebody raised in one of those traditions will be sitting out there longing for home, longing for refreshment, and not know that they too are welcome at this table, because this is not West End's table. This is not my table. This is not the table of any of the worship leaders up here. This is Christ's table. And Christ never once made baptism a requirement for eating with him. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. When his disciples come to him and say, these people are hungry, you need to send them away. What does he say? You feed those who are baptized. No. you feed them. And everyone there is fed, and there is plenty left over. If I'm going to follow a rubric and have to choose, I'm going to follow the rubric of Jesus, not the rubric of any church, including my own. Because you see, we come here hungering for home. We come here thirsting for the refreshment that only the presence and love of God can give. And we up here, those of us who celebrate and those of us who serve, are the doorkeepers. Now, at 61st, you have to have all your documents in order, and you have to have a number, and you have to line up, and you have to come in that certain number, but you don't have to do that here. The only qualification is that you are seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor. If you're hungry, you're qualified. Come and eat. If you're thirsty, you're qualified. Come and drink. I would rather be that kind of doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than be anywhere else in the world. Thanks be to God.
We welcome all who gather with us this morning in worship, and we extend a special welcome to the guests among us. We are glad that you are here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee after worship and read Hall out these doors to your right. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the rear of the sanctuary in the narthex after the service. You can look for them by their blue name tag. If you are a student, an undergraduate, or a graduate student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch following the late service. They will also gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card, and we invite you to record your prayer request on these cards. And please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or if they're confidential, and you can place the card and the offering plates as they're passed down each pew. We also ask at this time that you please take a moment and record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you'll find near the center aisle. And then just pass this along to those seated with you in the pew. This morning we celebrate the birth of Caroline Elizabeth Price, who was born February 9th to Whitney and Jeremy Price. She is also welcomed by her big brother Sawyer Price. We celebrate the birth of Emma Margaret Hibishu, who was born March 20th in Manhattan, New York, to Julie and Daniel Hibishu. She's welcomed also by Nancy and Jim Culver, Emily Bigelow, and Anna and Peter Bigelow. And we also celebrate the birth of Rosemary Knox Leverance, who was born March 21st to Molly and David Leverance. She's welcomed also by her big sister, Eleanor Leverance. And we offer our sympathy to the family of Jane Porter Bracey, who died March 25th in California at the age of 102. And we also offer our sympathy to the family of Howell Jackson Lynch Jr., who died March 26th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Among his survivors are his mother, Mary Ferris Lynch, and his brother, George Lynch. Services in New Orleans took place on April 1st. A graveside service will be held at Maplewood Cemetery in Pulaski, Tennessee, on April 8th at 11 a.m. We also offer sympathy to Doug Aaron and Megan Doss and the loss of Doug's father yesterday on April 1st. There are no other details available at this time. And this morning, we also hold in prayer our brothers and sisters at Glencliff United Methodist Church, who are being bullied in public places and will be picketed this morning as they gather to worship because of their support of
Open Table Nashville's micro home village that's planned at Glencliff. Each of us have been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give to God, who has given so much to us abundantly.
Thank you.
blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink of it." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of For there is one loaf that we share, the body of Christ broken for us. I come with a message from the host of this meal, Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter where you come from, no matter who you love, no matter how many doubts or questions you come with today, you are welcome to come and feast. All that desire, that thirst and hunger to know God's love are welcome at this table. I ask you to please take note of the directions that are printed in the bulletin insert as you come forward to receive communion here at the rail. If you'll just place your hands together, open to receive God's grace, and you'll be offered a piece of bread and a cup of juice. If you'd come by way of the center aisle and you'll return on the outside, the ushers will help direct you to come and receive. This morning there are two offering plates here at the front of the center aisle, and our communion offering for this month goes to the Green Street Christian Church Ministries. This church has a side yard that is called the Sanctuary, and it's a place where up to 20 people are able to stay in tents or in small homes, and they're able to stay there until they're able to find permanent housing our 7th through our 12th graders, our youth ministry have been a part of this ministry for the last year. The first Sunday of each month, they've served a meal for the people that are living at Green Street. And it's been an important ministry to our young people. One of the things that those that are living at the sanctuary don't have now is bathhouses. And so the money that's raised this month through our communion offering will go to help provide a bathhouse for those that are living at the Green Street Christian Ministry. Also, Emily, our youth pastor, will be serving gluten-free. She'll be located over here near the lectern. So if you need gluten-free, that option's available. So just either make your way over here, or if you're on the other side, just make eye contact with one of the servers, and we'll make sure that Emily comes and serves you as well. And if you are in need of to be served in the pews, Lisa and myself will be serving in the pews, and so please just catch our eye or eye one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you where you're seated right now. Thank you. pray the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
These members of the Guatemala Mission Team served as worship leaders this morning in different capacities, and now we want to offer a prayer for them as they go doing God's work, representing this congregation in God's world. So, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for giving us hearts for others. We thank you for these people standing before us today, who are choosing to travel your world to take the word of your love to others, to be doorkeepers that welcome all, to help others know that your embrace is their home, to represent this congregation, sharing your love with your people. Bless them that they might be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. The rest of the team will be serving at the second service. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.